Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dub Lane, our friend's associate professor of economics and finance at UNO, my alma mater. Dub, maybe we should wait. It might go up again, huh?
Well, not necessarily. Good morning, Tommy.
How are you? Tell me about, for people that don't understand, and the question here is, are we collecting too much in taxes or paying too much in taxes, or do you need a deficit, a surplus in order not to have special sessions and extended sessions, et cetera? First, let's talk about how it went from $300 million to $500 million in the whole process.
Well, again, that was just a factor of trying to estimate $9 billion in revenue when they make some changes. The big changes that occurred that are really causing that was basically underestimating. And part of that is to say, you know, the revenue estimating committee tries to be conservative, because if you're a little conservative, you come in a little extra money, then you use that to build roads and things like that. If you're aggressive and try to overestimate and you end up being a little bit wrong, then you actually have to cut budgets of various things. So I think their nature is to be a little conservative. So you'd expect on average for them, if it's a little bit off, and we're only talking about 5%, difference, to be, a little bit, to come in on the surplus side is a good thing, I think, for the state. Because if they have we have a huge backlog of roads and other infrastructure things that we need to take care of that we don't really budget for. So a little extra surplus is never wasted. That there's a good place for those things to go. But what happened is why they were underestimated was that when the federal tax law changed a year or so ago, that gave, increased the standard deduction, that means you pay less federal taxes. Well, federal taxes are deductible on the state tax. Well, if you have paid less federal taxes, that means you end up paying more state taxes. And when they make a structural change like that, it's just a little bit difficult to estimate exactly how much money that's going to be. They put in a couple hundred million. It ended up being twice as big as they thought it was going to be. That was the biggest part of it right there.
So the budget is what?
$9 billion.
And of that, you're talking about $500 million, $500 million. Yeah. But if you were running a $9 billion corporation, would it be odd to hold that much in reserve?
Well, again, no. I mean, actually, but the question is really estimating. We have to, 6 months before or 4 months before the fiscal year starts, you have to guess how much money am I going to get next year. Corporations don't really have to do that. They just report after the fact. They worry about cash flow. That's a big cash flow analysis is a big deal in corporations. So that if money starts coming in faster, then they can very quickly change it. We have to set our entire budget thing into circus a year and a half before all the money comes in. And so that's really, I think, the difference there of trying to estimate your revenues along in advance. And in general, they do a fairly good job of that. But they're always going to be off. Being off by 5% on that type of an estimate is not completely surprising. And then the other part was, I was talking to Greg Albrecht, the state economist for the legislature, and what he said was that some of that was in the corporate taxes. We made some changes back in 2016 and 17 in our state laws in terms of things that reduce the amount of things they can expire, and in corporations, sometimes it takes 3 or 4 years for them to actually catch up with those changes. So, we're talking about some of the changes made in 2017 that we're just now seeing some of the effects of, now. So I'm just saying those things are hard to estimate. But, $500 million is a little bit big. When it's $300 million, then that was pretty normal. This one's a little bigger than it probably should be. But I know they've got a lot of good places to put it, because if you've driven on our roads recently, so we have plenty of work to be done.
We could take a break here. I may have misspoken earlier. The budget is $30 billion for 2019, the year. And you're talking about a $5 billion surplus. When you said maybe it should a little bit high, should be closer to 300, why do you say that, Dom?
Well, I mean, I'm saying, you know, what kind of an error in estimating is fairly reasonable? And a 2 or 3, you know, percent error is probably pretty reasonable. We're up now at about 5%. I was talking about, and of the, you know, the $30 billion budget, there's a lot of that which is Medicaid money. So, you know, if you talk about the ones that's just generated by state revenues, that's the $9 billion piece.
So in a perfect world with a $30 billion budget, presuming you're going to be fiscally responsible, you ideally would want a surplus of?
Well, you don't project a surplus. It's just that you project as good as you can, but when you project, you also want to be a little conservative. How much revenues are going to be generated by this? Well, it might be 2 to 4 million. Let's put in the budget, say 2.5 million, you know, something like that. So if it comes up a little bit better, you end up with a surplus as opposed to coming up with a deficit. So what I'm saying is a small surplus is better in terms of running the state than a deficit.
All right, we'll take a break when we come back. I'm not going to talk about any candidate. I'm going to talk about political action committees with which candidates are not supposed to have any affiliation. And we'll talk about tax increases, too many taxes, a half cent that was they decided to leave on, half a cent, half a penny, however you want to look at it, on every dollar sales tax. 8:51 traffic now, WWL. 8:56 now, 4 before 9. Dub, I'm going to save the politics for next half hour because somebody texted this in. I think it's interesting. They said, well, if the law requires the state to have a balanced budget, if they have a $500 million surplus, does that mean they violated the law?
Well, no, clearly not. It's that the balancing is required that you can't borrow money. That's really the thing, is that we're going to end up with a balanced budget because we're going to spend that money on, the Constitution designate certainly things you can spend the surplus on. So that's actually built into the system.
Is it unreal? Is it realistic? Let me put it that way. If you look at, and this kind of understand about people wanting, you know, you don't want any money wasted in government, but if you look at private corporations, people are hanging around, not doing anything. They got people that screw around wherever you are, right? I'm sure it happens at UNO. It happens here. It happens at every business. So is it unrealistic for people to think that every government employee should constantly be working, et cetera? Do you understand what I'm trying to ask you?
Well, as I teach my students, there are certain types of government failures that whenever you can have the government do things, you need to recognize that inherent in government is that governments are bureaucracies. And bureaucracies tend to be inefficient, more so than, you know, private enterprise does. And so that is a natural failing of government. Yeah, you would like to minimize it. You want to keep it from happening, but it's kind of the nature of bureaucracy that you're going to get some of that. More in government than you do in the private sector. Although private sector bureaucracies have the same problem.
When it comes to paying for different things and people saying, well, they've already got enough money. Is that accurate in terms of budgets constantly going up to allow for maybe inflation or value of the dollar, however you want to look at it?
Well, I mean, some of that. But the key issue is people always say that we want to cut the government budget. And I understand that. But when you get ready to start asking them, well, where do you want it to cut? It's that they find that a much harder thing to say. It's just this general notion. Yes, we ought to be cutting the budgets, but then you say, now where? What do you want? You want to get rid of that Medicaid program for the kids? You want to get rid of the funding for the universities or K-12, which is where most of our money goes? Do you want to cut that? No. We need to cut the things that we don't need. Well, name one of them. And people hem and haw around when it comes around to doing that, and it finds out it's just much harder to say. Not that there aren't things there, but the things that are there that unfortunately that probably are not very good tend to be unfortunately very protected by politics.
And Lord, before we go, Dub, Lord knows I'm not taking up for the Sewerage and Water Board, but I constantly hear about people you know, a couple of them leaning on the shovels watching. And then I realized, well, in this heat, you can't shovel constantly for 8 hours, right? You'd have to be some kind of camel to do that. So
yeah,
everybody's got to take a break.
I think that is a good example that most people agree that that is not very well run enterprise.
Absolutely, but. And I'm not taking up for him. I guess I'm taking up for the guy shoveling. Thank you, Dub.
Yeah. Okay.
Dub Lane, associate professor of economics and finance at UNO. And if you think about it, that is more efficient because you get more hole dug, right? Instead of the four guys not being replaced by another four guys and then the first four guys leaning on a shovel. We'll be back, WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.